Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning, everybody. Today we are talking more about the prophets. We're looking today at a prophet, Ezekiel. And the Lord asks him to do something very strange. But we can tell from the story that it's not a physical thing, but Ezekiel is seeing an image in heaven. He is seeing something spiritual, and it carries a special meaning for each one of our lives. The Lord is going to ask Ezekiel to eat the book. Sounds strange, but we'll get into it. It makes a lot of sense. Now, you've probably all heard about change management. Okay, if you work within a business, you've heard about change management and how to look at your business, see where you are currently, look at where you want to be, a vision of where you want to be in the future, and then try and manage this in-between period of change. How do we get from where we currently are to where we want to be as a business? There are a lot of books out there. There are a lot of resources, a lot of tools, a lot of techniques to help manage this change. But the Lord spoke about it first. The Lord spoke about change first. If we go back to the Old Testament especially, and if we look at all the kings in the Old Testament and all the way through the prophets, the Lord is trying to do one thing: get people to change. Get people to change. The New Testament comes along, and it's the same message. The Lord wants us to change. Now, unfortunately, there is a message out there, even in the Christian church, that there is no need to change. But that's not what the Bible teaches. There is a half-truth that we hold on to because it sounds good. And it is true, but it's only a half-truth. And that half-truth is, the Lord loves you just the way you are. Anybody heard that? Okay, it goes out around on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. The Lord loves you just the way you are. And that is true. That is true. I don't want you to doubt that. That is true. The Lord loves you just the way you are. But the Lord loves the highest angels in heaven, and He loves the lowest in hell. The Lord loves the highest heavens, and He loves those who are furthest away from Him. So just because the Lord loves you doesn't make you a good person. Just because the Lord loves me doesn't make me a good person. That tells us a lot about the Lord, but it doesn't tell us about ourselves. The other half that goes with that truth is, the Lord loves you just the way you are, but He wants more for you. He is trying to move you forward. The Lord wants you to change. The Lord wants you to grow. Right? Because the Lord is love. And what love wants is the best. The Lord wants the best for you. And if we look at our own lives, we realize that we are far from the example that the Lord gives. So we can, in part of our lives, be in states of hell. When we are in anguish and distress, or we are depressed, we are feeling far from God. When we are angry and frustrated and feeling hurt inside, we are far from God. Does the Lord still love us? Absolutely. But the Lord wants us to grow. The Lord wants us to change. The Lord wants to move us out of those states and bring us up into heaven. That's what the Lord wants. He loves us, but He wants us to change, and His vision for us is a heavenly life, a life that we can live right now where we are content with our lot, where we are at peace on the inside with whatever happens in life, that we have strength and courage to face every new day and to engage with people in a loving, caring way. That is heaven. And it's possible for each one of us right now. But we've got to look at ourselves, see where we are currently, just like a business does. Where are we currently? What is the vision of the future? And we've got to go through this change process. And that's what our story today is about. Is the first steps of this change process. What is required by us to start this walk with the Lord? So I want to read to you, and you can follow along in your pew cards. We're reading from the book Ezekiel. We're in chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. So this is what the Lord says to Ezekiel. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mournings and woes. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat the scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly, and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. An interesting request that the Lord gives to Ezekiel. Eat the book. Eat the book. Now, if we think about our state of change, or what is necessary for us to change, the Lord has given us His Word. The Word is what the Lord was trying to get Ezekiel to take to the people, all the prophets. He's giving them the word, take this to my people. But here in this image, we see something that has to happen within us, that the Lord is giving to us the word, and what has to happen within us in order to move forward in a relationship with Him. So let's look at the story a little closer. Let's think about opening our mouth. That's the first thing that the Lord said to him, open your mouth. Now, the Lord doesn't want to actually give us a book to eat. The Lord is not asking us to take the word and to scrunch it up. No. The Lord is asking us in a image of eating, the image of taking something into our mind. So just as we take something into our mouth and into our digestion to nourish our bodies, so the Lord is trying to show us that there is something that needs to be taken into our minds and digested by our minds and absorbed into our spiritual body. And so we have this image of eating a physical book, but the Lord wants us to raise our minds, to think about it as eating in our minds. The Lord first says, open your mouth. Open your mind. Open your mind and eat what I give you. What does the Lord give us? He gives us His Word. He teaches us through His Word. That's an interesting detail that the Lord gives to us about that scroll. It was written on the inside and the outside. You know, this is an image that occurs in other places in the Bible, on the inside and on the outside. We see in the book of Revelation a similar image on the inside and on the outside. What is the Lord trying to tell us about this book, about the truths that He gives to us? The Lord is trying to get us to think a little bit more deeply about the stories. That the stories that the Lord gives us in His Word aren't just a history of a people, but that within that history, the way that that story has been told, the Lord has designed that story so that within that story, The Lord can hold spiritual ideas, heavenly ideas. And that's what we're looking at today. Those heavenly ideas within the simple story of eating a book. And so the Lord has given us His Word. It has stories in it that we enjoy. We all have our favorite story, right? Maybe it's Daniel in the lion's den, or maybe it's the parting of the Red Sea and the children of Israel walking across in this miraculous event. We all have our favorite stories that we enjoy. The Lord's Word is like honey in our mouths. And it's sweet. We can enjoy those stories. I want you to take your mind to the book of Revelation, to John on the Isle of Patmos. And he's given almost exactly the same request. Eat the book. And John on the Isle of Patmos takes the book from the angel and he eats it, and it is sweet in his mouth and it is bitter in his stomach. The Lord shows us this image of how things appear in our minds. That when we first approach the Lord's Word and we see these beautiful teachings and these stories and these peoples that it's spoken about and the miracles that He can do, it's like honey. It's like honey to our minds. It's delightful. But the Lord didn't just say, open your mouth and put this in your mouth. The Lord asks Ezekiel to eat it and to swallow it. If we think about putting something in our mouth, it doesn't just sit there. We chew it, right? If we think about ideas that come into our minds, if we are to engage properly with those ideas, we need to chew on that idea, right? In English, there's an expression, I've got to chew on that. Right? An idea that we've got to process, that we've got to think about, that we've got to perhaps wrestle with. Right? The idea of chewing. But it doesn't just stay in our mouth. We don't just think about ideas. The Lord asks Ezekiel to swallow it. Fill your belly, fill your stomach. Right? Faith is not about what happens in our minds. Faith is not about what we know. Faith isn't about just reading the Lord's Word. That is the first step. Faith, then, the Lord asks us to think and reason about what we have learned. Right? If we hold up the first and most important principle in the Lord's Word is, the Lord is love and the Lord is wisdom. And everything that we learn has to fit with that same idea, that God is love, that God is wisdom. And we've got to wrestle with ideas and challenge ideas and chew it over until we can understand it, and then we are to swallow it. Swallow it, you can imagine it going down into our bellies, into our stomach. Now, our bellies, our stomach, represent our daily living, our natural life, the problems that we face every day, the things that we have to deal with every day, the conversations that we have, the people we meet, the way we speak, the attitudes that we have, the decisions before us, they are represented by our bellies. I want you to think about this for a moment. When you are stressing and anxious about something in this world, where do you feel it? In your belly, in the pit of your stomach, you feel anxiety and stress in your stomach, right? Our belly and our stomach represent the natural life that we deal with every day. But the Lord wants us to take that knowledge that we have, that understanding of what He has given to us, the way that He wants us to live, and to bring it down into our daily living. Into our daily living. That is living your faith. Faith starts off in our minds. But when it's just in our minds, it is blind. Only when we start to take our faith and we start to look at our lives and we start to measure our life according to what we say we believe, then there is life within our faith. When we start to examine ourselves according to what the Lord has taught, then we start to live. Then we start to work with the Lord. Then we start to have a relationship with Him. And that is the first step of the change process. And that change process, it's called many different things. In the new church, we call it regeneration. Right? Generation is about creating. Recreating. Rebirth. Being born again. Doesn't matter what terms you use. It all has to do with the same thing. A newness of life. A newness of life. Where our faith takes on a form within the things that we do. We start to look at the words that we say. We start to look at the decisions that we make. And we start to ask, well, how does the Lord want me to make these decisions? What would the Lord say about these words that I've just said to this person? What would the Lord say about this feeling that I'm holding or this attitude that I have? What would the Lord say? Would He say, good and faithful servant? Or would He be shaking His head and wanting us to change? And so our faith is there to chew on, to take the Lord's word, to really think about it, not just to receive stuff and just to believe whatever somebody says. That is blind. But to take it and to wrestle with it and to see how it fits into the rest of my understanding of the Lord and His kingdom. And then trying to figure out, how do I get this into my life? How do I make this part of my relationships, part of my work, part of my family? Then that book starts to nourish us. We draw from it. Our spirit draws from those ideas, from our actions, from our interactions with people, a deeper understanding. We understand everything that the Lord teaches is about love. That everything that the Lord teaches is about how to bring happiness, not to me, but to all those around me. Today, we're going to come forward and we're going to receive bread and wine. And the sacrament of the Holy Supper is an important rite, an important sacrament, an important symbol that we do outwardly that is a reflection of something that we should be doing inwardly. If we're coming before the Lord and we're taking in the bread and we're taking in the wine and we're chewing it and we're swallowing it into our stomach, it represents the good things, the bread, the good things of the Lord that we would love to have within our lives. And the wine or the water represent the true things that we want from the Lord and we want to make a part of our lives. And so the Holy Supper or communion is a wonderful symbol of what we want on a spiritual level, of what we need on a spiritual level, to be taking the Lord's word and to be taking it into ourselves and absorbing it into our life. I want to read to you from the teachings for the new church. You can follow along in your pew card. We're going to read that second paragraph there from the book True Christian Religion. The question then is, how are we to repent? Okay, an easy way of understanding repentance is change. How are we to change? The answer is, we are to do it actively. We can't just stand with our hands by our side and expect the Lord to just change us. It's a nice idea. We would all love it to happen that way, but the Lord, in His design, wants us to participate. He wants us to be a part of the process. He wants us to have an ownership in this process, and then it becomes real. So we've got to do it actively. That is, We are to first examine ourselves, recognize and admit to our sins, pray to the Lord, and begin a new life. Repentance becomes effective if we practice it regularly. That is, every time we prepare ourselves to take the communion of the Holy Supper. So that's what we're doing today. We're taking a Holy Supper. So what the Lord asks us to do is, in preparation today, in coming forward, what is one thing? Okay, it says, I just want to carry on reading. Afterwards, if we abstain from one sin or another that we have discovered in ourselves, this is enough to make our repentance real. So just one thing. What is one thing that you already know that you need help with in your life? What is one bad habit that you have in your life? One selfishness or an anger or a frustration or a judgmental attitude? Or what is one thing or one situation that you want the Lord to help you with? What is one situation where you realize that what you are doing is harming not just yourself but other people? What is one situation where you can see that if I did this differently, things would be happier? Things would be more joyful. What is one thing in your life? Perhaps you want to take a moment and write it down in the pew card in that blank space. What is one thing that you want to come before the Lord today with, that you keep within your heart, within your mind, it's between you and the Lord, and ask for His help? Right? When we pray to the Lord, we're not asking the Lord to change other people. We're asking the Lord to change ourselves. So what is one thing that will help you change? Do you need the courage? Do you need the strength? Do you need more understanding? Do you need more power from the Lord to do what you know to be right? What is it that you need from the Lord? Those spiritual qualities that you can pray for. And then come forward. And as you receive the bread and wine, think about those qualities that you're asking for the Lord from to help you in just one way. And in that way, your spiritual path is becoming real. Your change is becoming real. Your growth in love is becoming real. Your love to the Lord is becoming real. So the Lord's Word has within it these wonderful, strange stories. But every story of the Lord's Word holds within it a beautiful, heavenly idea. And if we can understand more deeply those stories, we learn more about those deeper things of our spiritual nature. What are the things that we really need to be working on? What are those things that are everlasting that the Lord wants us to change for the better? The Lord does love you, but He wants more for you. And He is working with each one of us to bring about that change. If we will do our small part of acknowledging where we have gone wrong, measuring ourselves according to the Word that He gives us. Amen.